Dave and Darren in the morning on Planet 93.9 every weekday, 5:30 till 10. What we have here for you are the top five things that happened on that morning show.
Isn't that something? What a process.
They're presented numerically, but we don't mean to suggest that number one is somehow better than number five. They're all, let's face it,
they're all my favorites.
They're all outstanding. Everything we touch, we somehow turn into gold. How do we do it? Let's get started.
And why?
Where should we start, Petra?
How about number one? Number one. Does that sound good?
One.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one. And this should be obvious.
Okay, number one.
Number one.
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 Number one.
On Mondays, we like to review some of the finest letters that are sent in to advice columnists. This is very different from the subreddit where people are asking just regular Reddit users about things.
What's the popular opinion on this one?
Mm-hmm. These are people who are writing to advice columnists about problems in their lives and, you know, getting more often than not good advice, right? Again, I issued this preemptively. I'm going to issue a warning about, I feel about like every single one of these stories.
Just
hold on to your cat because
crazier than the next one.
Yep. I think you'll find. Should I resume my friendship with someone who refused to let me use her bathroom when I was in the middle of an IBS attack? Keep in mind, I'm reading this one first.
Yeah.
Because it's the least crazy story.
I gotcha.
I have irritable bowel syndrome.
Yes, you do.
About a year ago, I had breakfast with a friend of mine named Pat. I've known Pat for 40 years. I picked up Pat, drove her to the restaurant, and after the meal, I brought her back home.
Mm-hmm.
I asked if I might use her bathroom before continuing on the way to my house, which is about 15 miles away.
Yeah.
Pat said no. I mentioned that I really couldn't wait due to the IBS. I pleaded and was told, absolutely not.
What is going on?
Well, I fumed all the way home.
You know I had the gyro omelet. Are you kidding me? You saw what I had for breakfast. Please, I beg of you.
Absolutely not.
Please.
I fumed all the way home.
You did more than fumed. Fume is a polite term for what you were doing. All the windows were rolled down. Papers, everything just flying all over the place. It was like I was in a money machine.
I didn't even have my foot on the gas.
Didn't just need it.
Propelled by my own flatulence. Well, I fumed all the way home and I was in a bad way. I made it, but I was not happy with my friend's treatment of me.
Right.
Pat called about a month later to inquire why I haven't been in touch.
Hey, what gives?
I told Pat how I felt and reminded her of the many times I've hosted parties and she was always invited. I've seen the inside of Pat's apartment, but I've never had as much as a cup of coffee offered to me. I feel like I've been used, and I don't really feel the need to entertain Pat anymore. I have forgiven Pat. I just don't want anything to do with her. Am I being petty? What? Why would you write this?
I don't know. Why does anyone else need to know about this?
Like, every time I have cut someone out of my life, that's it. We're done. I'm done thinking about you.
Yeah.
What? Well, they wrote to Amy Dickinson, who says, yes, it makes sense for you to keep your distance from Pat. Quote, it's tough to reckon with the faults and failings of someone you've known for a very long time. But for you, this episode brought on a reckoning.
Yes, that's a polite term for what? Reckoning, fuming,
and once
call it what you will.
Once you've gotten to that point, it's hard to get back. Okay. not bad.
Yes, you crossed the Rubicon.
What should I do when an acquaintance with dementia sends me unsolicited graphic text messages and then tells everybody that we're sexting each other? When I was in high school, a friend of one of my brothers had a crush on me.
Yeah.
I'll call him Kurt. He was nice and funny, had his own car, and treated me to a lot of cool things like concerts and restaurants, etc. I was never attracted to him romantically, and I told him that frequently.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed his friendship, but that was it.
Yeah.
If Kurt became too aggressive, my brother Ethan would talk to him, and he would back off. Well, it's 45 years later.
Oh, no.
My brother Ethan is deceased, and Kurt has dementia. Both Kurt and I are married with children and grandchildren. Kurt's dementia is being treated with 15 experimental drugs through his hospital.
And 13 herbs and spices. Or is it 11?
Several months ago, my sister gave Kurt my phone number and email address. Kurt sends me extremely graphic texts about the types of things he would like to do to me.
Yeah.
I know it's the disease talking, no. So I just try to ignore
it. No, it's not.
My husband has had to interpret some of the stuff for me because I've never heard of some of the really hardcore terms before. Oh, no.
But your husband knows them.
Well, let me explain to you what this is, dear. I can handle the 15 texts, WhatsApp messages, and emails. But Kurt just had lunch with a group of friends he and my brother shared, and Kurt told them all about the sexting that he and I are doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's been no sharing on my side. My response is always platonic and have a good day, that sort of thing. I'm mortified because one of these friends is married to a girl I used to be good friends with. I'm not in touch with her because we moved to a different state, but we do have friends in common. I know Kurt's disease is doing this, but I'm not sure how to handle it.
Well,
help.
You need to tell him to cool it, and if you need to, get your husband involved to say this is over.
Yes.
Here's a face-to-face. Cool it.
Yes. The advice columnist here says, feel free to correct any rumors in the moment if they come up, and if you're with friends, you're involuntary part of this narrative he's weaved. So it's within your right to set the record straight. Do not engage when he makes these remarks.
Mm-hmm.
I would also assume, too, not knowing anything more than what I've just presented here, everybody probably knows that this guy's got some stuff going on, huh?
Yeah. He's probably not being believed.
Yeah, right. And then finally, what should I do after my sister-in-law told me falsely that my wife had given her permission to sleep with me?
What? Give me that again.
What should I do after my sister-in-law told me falsely that my wife had given her permission to sleep with me?
What does your brother have to say? Or, yeah.
So basically, I slept with my sister-in-law because she told me my wife would be okay with it. But my wife's not okay with it. That seems like...
Wait a minute. So...
Yeah.
So it happened?
I married my high school girlfriend after college. We were happy, and the sex was fantastic. Then she fell in love with a woman and came out, just to me, as bisexual or possibly a lesbian. Our relationship somehow survived this tumult, and we decided to start a family. We're now in our 50s. Our children are grown, and I have not had sex for approximately 2 decades.
Approximately?
Give or take.
Give or take a decade. Approximately.
If I had to give you a best guesstimate, approximately 2 decades since I've had sex.
Okay.
I have not had sex for approximately 2 decades. My wife remains mostly closeted in terms of not being out to her friends and family, mm-hmm. with one exception, one of her sisters. Mm. The sister is single. I'm writing to you about the bizarre event that took place over the weekend.
Okay.
I was texting with my wife's sister, and out of the blue, she writes that
By the way, you know.
This is an odd text to get from my sister-in-law.
Uh-huh.
Out of the blue, I get a text message. I was texting with my wife's sister, and she writes that she has my wife's permission to sleep with me.
Mm.
This was totally unexpected and caused a panic attack on my part. It felt wrong. I was at a loss.
I need a paper bag.
I'm going to pass out. I was at a loss as to what to say.
Uh-huh.
She assured me, still via text, that it was okay with my wife and it would be a safe sister-in-law with benefits arrangement. She also has physical needs that are unmet, as she is single, so we'd be helping each other. My wife and I had discussed having an open marriage with each of us seeking girlfriends. My wife says she's okay with this, but I am not, as I fear having a girlfriend. I fear either of us having a girlfriend could throw our home and family life into chaos and potentially result in divorce, which wouldn't be fair to the children. Believing my sister-in-law actually had my wife's permission to at least raise the
subject. I want to believe.
Believing my sister-in-law actually had my wife's permission to at least raise the subject, I went a bit down the road with her via text, and things got very explicit. I experienced something I haven't for 20 years. The elation of an imminent sexual encounter. Of course, I needed reinsurance that my wife was actually okay with this.
Yeah.
So I asked her.
And?
It seems there was a major misunderstanding.
Uh-huh. Boy, I tell you what, that'll take the wind out of your sail real quick.
I've made a huge mistake.
My wife was appalled, utterly so.
Yeah.
According to my wife, her sister joked about sleeping with me when the two of them were discussing the details of their relationship.
Right, and she said, yeah, you go right ahead.
And my wife only jokingly agreed.
Yeah.
Now I feel guilty that I even considered having sex with my wife's sister.
Son of a gun.
To say nothing of the guilt I feel about the wedge this has driven into a close sisterly relationship. My wife does not want to discuss this any further. Mm-hmm. I get it. It is weird. Especially if it were to be condoned by all parties. But I want to share more about how I feel with my wife. I don't think she understands how depressing it is to feel that you'll never be intimate with anyone ever again. So what do I do? Oh, boy.
Oh, here we go.
The letter writer says you need to go into some sort of therapy here because, wow. Dan Savage writes here, if you're so starved for sex that you'll find yourself jumping at highly inappropriate offers and sister-in-law with benefits certainly clears that bar, you'd be well advised to seek sex with a more appropriate potential partner than to wait for the next inappropriate offer that comes along.
Yeah, and if your wife already said it's okay,
mm-hmm.
just not with my sister.
I prefer it not be with my sister.
You know the one person you can't do this with?
And I can't believe I have to say this out loud. Even though she's hot to trot, I'd rather you didn't.
The one that's not okay.
Yeah. That's a bozo no-no, my friend.
That's a bozo no-no.
Number two.
Number two.
Darren, if I were to ask you, and I guess I am asking you to guess... Mm-hmm. What is the top snack for Generation Z? The kids these days, the teenagers, what is their favorite snack? I will tell you, if you asked me this question, I would have guessed it and I would have gotten it absolutely correct because we go through a lot of this.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's far and away the number one snack for the teenager that lives in my house. And it turns out it's the number one snack food for most of the young people today.
Granola?
That's a good guess. That's a solid guess. You could guess, I mean, there's infinite numbers of snacks you could have guessed. They say here that they've crunched the numbers.
But you knew the answer.
Yeah, I would have gotten it right. I would have guessed this because it's what the number one snack is at my house.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to remember what kind of snacks I see around your house.
It's pretty surprising, actually. But the thing that kids these days, the teenagers, the thing that they snack on more than anything,
yeah,
Goldfish crackers.
Ah.
Far and away. In fact,
so this was something they had as a very little person, and they just hung on to it.
Yeah. Yeah, we
got. I like Goldfish crackers.
They're great.
Do you ever get the whales? Is that Walmart?
That's like a generic thing. Yeah, I don't care for the
flavor's different. I kind of like the flavor.
I don't like the mouthfeel of the whales.
Don't you?
Yeah, I feel like they do a little something with the oil in it. I don't care for it.
Okay.
There's also penguins. I feel like there was is that like the Hy-Vee knockoff, the penguins? Or it's not as good. The Pepperidge Farm Goldfish.
I think that's a solid snack.
Number one snack food here. The teens listed it as their favorite snack brand is Goldfish. And then right behind it are Cheez-Its, followed by Lay's potato chips, Doritos, and Takis. Takis are a big deal.
Sure they are.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at the two top snacks for teens.
And Cheez-Its, another good call.
They're crispy cheddar snacks.
Well.
That's what the kids go nuts for these days.
The generation that will save us all.
Oh, here's hoping.
Well, yeah.
Have you seen when you go to Aldi these weird-looking strawberries? These are getting a lot of heat. They're not strawberries, actually, but they look exactly like strawberries, but strawberries that have had the color sucked out of them. Like you took a strawberry and you soaked it overnight in bleach. They're called pine berries, and they're showing up at produce sections of Aldi's across America. And they're very weird looking.
Nothing wrong with a pine berry.
They're called the LaCroix of strawberries. People are buying these pine berries at Aldi, and to their regret, finding them to be absolutely tasteless.
They have no flavor, huh?
They're trendy, but people say they don't really taste like much of anything.
Yeah.
Pine berries. Okay. I probably
stay away from that then.
Yeah. Pine berries are just several varieties of white strawberries that have been bred for their pale color. The reason they tend to be more pinkish than pure white is that they contain trace amounts of the chemical that causes strawberries to turn red. Why do you call them a pine berry then? It says the name comes from the fact that these fruits are supposed to taste somewhat like pineapple. Although from the reviews of everybody that's tried these pink strawberries, these pine berries at Aldi, again, they taste like really
Tanqueray.
Nothing. You know, they taste like nothing. Pine berries are not particularly rare, and Aldi does not have a monopoly on them. You can also find them at Walmart, Trader Joe's, Costco, and other grocery chains. I've never heard of this, but apparently they are fairly expensive because they're trickier to grow than a regular strawberry. Mm. We're talking $6-7 a box pay for something that is bland and does not taste at all like pineapples.
Don't care for that price point.
Right? Now, if you're looking for something that definitely tastes like strawberries, as of tomorrow, with the warm weather creeping in, McDonald's rolling out a springtime hit. Starting tomorrow, McFlurry fans can get their hands on an all-new flavor of McFlurry. It's the Strawberry Shortcake McFlurry.
Makes sense.
McDonald's saying here the dessert is made with its signature vanilla soft serve. That's assuming the machine is working. Also, strawberry-flavored clusters and a heaping portion of crispy shortbread cookies mixed into the McFlurry. It's an all-new flavor. Although it's new here in America, I guess this has been on the McDonald's Singapore menu forever. We're finally getting what Singapore's had for years. These McDonald's Shortcake McFlurry will only be offered for a limited time and only at participating McDonald's and, of course, while supplies last. The recipe, it says here in the website, it says the recipe was developed by McDonald's chefs and features real lemon bits. Oh, that's a new lemonade drink that's coming out too, I guess. Sorry, I'm mixing up my stories here. There will also be a new lemonade drink coming out with real bits of lemon pulp and real cane sugar in it. I think I'm more excited about the lemonade than I am anything with the strawberry shortcake.
Three. All right, number three.
Number three.
Number three.
Three.
Three. Three.
Masters happened over the weekend. John Rahm was the winner.
Rahm.
Rahm? You know, like a Rahm of dope? Rahm?
Graham, man, like Graham of dope.
Rahm. He was the winner of the Masters tournament, which, Darren... It's a tradition unlike any other.
Yeah, and it's a whole year away.
Yeah, good news. He says he knew he was going to win the Masters because of a fortune cookie he got at Panda Express.
Gotcha.
He said he knew he'd win the Masters.
What did he go with? Like the two entree plate?
And it's a fortune cookie he got 10 years ago.
Ah.
A vague fortune cookie from Panda Express told him his talents would be suitably rewarded. And he put that to mean, oh, I'm going to win the Masters then.
Did he keep it? Or did he?
Yeah, I mean.
Just got the message? Or did he put it in his wallet?
Well, he took a picture of it.
Took a picture of it.
It says, your talents will be recognized and suitably rewarded. He took a picture of it and he says here, I'm going to win the Masters. So he must have kept it. Yeah, kept the fortune cookie from, or the fortune from the fortune cookie. I was reading that is one field, fortune cookie writing, that they say is over because artificial intelligence is going to be writing all the fortunes and fortune cookies from now on.
Well.
That the AI chatbots.
What about like gift, or not greeting cards or just cards?
Yeah.
Maybe even.
Yeah. Fortune cookies, you get that little slip of paper, and that copy has been written by somebody who works for the cookie manufacturer. They say now that they've handed that over. A lot of these companies are handing that job over to artificial intelligence. Open Fortune is a fortune cookie-based marketing platform. And they've been using ChatGPT to write new fortunes for their cookies.
There was a guy, the RA, on my floor freshman year of college.
Okay. This is at Iowa?
At Iowa. He got he was going to graduate. He got a job with Hallmark.
Oh, wow.
And he wasn't going to be writing for Hallmark yet, but he was like, maybe. I'm in here on the ground floor.
I can't say that I've ever opened up a Hallmark card and thought, this is really well written. It seems kind of obvious, but that's what makes it hard to do, I suppose.
Yeah, you can't get real specific.
Right? Right? Sorry about your loss. You were friends for 17 years. Like, that's weird. How do they know that?
You spoke ill of them while they were alive.
You weren't really the best friend you could have been. And that haunts you to this day.
And we know here at Hallmark know how you feel.
Wait, why are they bringing themselves into the card?
That's just good branding.
Through the 100 year plus history of the fortune cookie, only several thousand fortunes have been in circulation. After extensive market research, Open Fortune determined that the AI-driven platform produces never-before-written and more appealing fortunes at an exponentially faster rate. This ensures that people are less likely to get the same message as their dining companion and creates a more personalized fortune cookie experience. As a result, Open Fortune is utilizing ChatGPT for their fortune content. Some examples of fortunes generated by ChatGPT include: you will soon have a delightful encounter with a stranger who will add a pinch of spice to your life's recipe. A harmonious melody will soon drift into your world, guiding you to a dance with destiny. You will experience a serendipitous moment that will bring you closer to a long-held dream. Seek harmony within yourself, and the world around you will follow suit. It kills me to sit here and admit, those are four pretty good fortunes. I would like to get any of those in a cookie.
Buy low, sell high.
See?
Look both ways.
Floss more regularly. Yeah, the CEO of this fortune cooking company says the most common feedback we receive from consumers is that they want to see new, refreshed, unique fortunes. Really? You're getting feedback from customers of fortune cookies?
Eat more beans and less red meat.
Well, that's not in the best interest of a Chinese place to be telling people to eat more beans. It's not gonna work out. Cut back on the MSG. I'm worried about you, Gary. That's an oddly specific fortune.
How do you know I'm Gary?
They say here, by harnessing the power of AI, we are revolutionizing, yet maintaining the traditional fortune cookie experience for consumers, while providing our advertising partners with seemingly endless creative capabilities. Have you gotten a fortune cookie that has an ad in it? Because that's another thing.
I haven't seen that.
Someone told me that they had this experience and it infuriated me. The idea is they put ads in the fortune cookies and then they give the cookies to the restaurants for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We'll buy the cookies for you.
So you open up the fortune cookie and it says, you know, we got a deal across the street on tires. So the restaurant doesn't have to pay for the fortune cookie. And then you're subjected to advertising.
1.9% financing at Hush Give It Ford.
I don't care for that.
Why, here's Hush Give It Now.
Yeah, this is I'm looking here at an ad for Dentine Ice Gum that's inside a fortune cookie.
Sounds refreshing.
Here's a fortune cookie. One side says, hard work pays off in the future. Laziness pays off now. Your lucky numbers are 4, 20, 40, 42, 55, and 59. On the other side of the fortune, it says, get 4% when you switch to Capital One. Earn 4% on dining and entertainment. And then there's a little picture of a Capital One card. I would be infuriated if I got a fortune cookie that had an advertisement.
Before anyone starts advertising with fortune cookies here in town.
Any ideas, Darren?
How about you give me a call? And let's try a little something on the radio. If I see any advertising in a fortune cookie, I'll snap.
You're listening to the radio.
Four.
Got somebody who is wondering if they're in the wrong here. And
okay.
They're going to our favorite subreddit. And once again, I'm going to have to issue a warning here.
To do what?
This is one I'm going to urge you, dear listener.
Please.
Hold on to your cat, because this one. Oh, boy. I'm 49 years old. I'm a 49-year-old woman, and I have a daughter whose name is Susan. Susan is 21. Okay, you got the players here? Mom's 49. Susan is a 21-year-old daughter. I have a daughter who was hospitalized for an extreme medical emergency late last month. Susan was in the hospital for 4 days. I visited every day until the last, which happened to be on April 1st. Her roommate and other friends also visited her.
Okay.
On the 1st, her roommate called me crying, saying that Susan's condition suddenly worsened and she had passed.
Oh, come on.
In hindsight, I should have thought something was up. But hearing that in the moment turned me into a sobbing wreck.
Yes.
A half hour later, Susan and her roommate came into my house and shouted, April Fools. Turns out she was allowed to leave the hospital, and that was how she decided to tell me. I didn't know it was possible to be so relieved and infuriated at the same time.
Right.
I called this a horrible joke. I screamed at her. And I told her she was not welcome in my home for the foreseeable future. Wow. So that was April 1st.
Yeah.
And apparently.
Yeah.
That was April 1st.
Yeah.
I told her she was not welcome in my house for the foreseeable future. Apparently, Susan thought Easter would be an exception.
Uh-huh.
I was hosting this year with a few relatives, and she came in. She still has a key.
Sure.
I made her give the key back and once again told her to get the hell out of my house. And while she persisted and was very stubborn about it, she finally left crying. The rest of our Easter gathering was understandably awkward.
Sure.
It's not like I'll never forgive her or that I'm going no contact or anything like that, but I am just too hurt and angry to speak or look at her right now to have any sort of discussion about what happened. She tries to call and text me every day, but I've ignored most of them. Our family is split between acknowledging that there are consequences for this, while several others say I need to move on and just forgive her because she hasn't fully recovered and still needs my support. I get that, but I think she's getting plenty of support from other people right now for me to be a necessity, and if she wanted my support, she would not do something so damn cruel. She's always been a bit of a jokester, but never like this. It really does not sit right with me at all to just bygones be bygones right now, but some, including my parents, are telling me that I should. I hope I can get some unbiased opinions on this apart from my family. Am I the jerk here?
You are going to need to let it go.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I understand being upset.
Yeah.
Just horrified.
Yes.
Horrified by it.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't you all just the relief that it's not true?
Yeah. But this prank is the worst thing you can do to a person.
Sure it is.
This isn't a joy buzzer.
No.
This isn't, hey, Mom, I was at the hospital and in the gift shop, I got some peanut brittle.
No, a child dying is the worst thing that can happen.
It's the absolute worst thing that can happen.
Right.
And they let this prank go on for a half an hour.
Right.
Where she just sat there in the grief that only someone that goes through that could know.
Yeah.
And then to come and say, April Fools. I don't know, man. I don't know.
She's got to process it, I guess.
I guess. Yeah, you're right. Eventually, you're going to have to.
I mean, she even knows that she has to get there.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting there.
I'm not there now, though. No. Yeah, I just don't know. Wow. I think I would. Once I was relieved that everything was okay, relatively speaking, I think then I would be grappling with an absolute grief over the fact that I raised such an idiot. Like, at some point I'm going to be gone and my kid is a moron. Like, that's where my head would be. Not only would I still be furious that you thought this was something funny to do, and this roommate's no help, by the way.
Oh, yeah, the roommate. I don't know. I don't know that I could ever let you off the hook.
Here's how this is going to work. Eventually, I will talk to my daughter.
Uh-huh.
But this roommate?
Yeah.
You're dead to me. You, I don't have to ever see again.
You're in trouble.
Eventually, maybe for Christmas.
I can. Your words, your voice are burnt into my mind.
Yeah. No, go ahead and cancel that one for sure. I don't know. I would not be okay with this for a long time. It would take me a long time to you're right though. Eventually you do have to get over it because it's your kid.
Yeah.
But oh man, is that I told you. Didn't I tell you should hold on to your cat?
Hold on to your cat.
Hold on to your cat at all times when we read these stories because, they get weird.
Number five.
Five.
Number five.
FBI has a alert for us. And this one, I guess, I could have fallen for this. I may have fallen for this. You're at the airport. And you realize you didn't charge your phone properly.
Okay.
And you want to give it a charge, and you've got nothing to do but sit there and wait for a couple of hours.
So why can't I make this happen?
All over the airport, there's these charging stations. Right where you're sitting and waiting at the gate, they have places for you to charge your phone. I'll tell you, from my recent travels, I found that to be incredibly convenient.
Yeah.
I thought, well, that's really nice. They are saying, the Federal Bureau of Investigation is saying, under no circumstances should you be using those things.
Really?
Yeah, don't use them at airports. Don't use any free phone charging, any public phone charging station. They are issuing a warning now.
Now, what about...
If Woody had gone right to the police, this would never have happened.
Now, they do have phone charging stations where you have to pay. Can you use those?
Well, this particular warning comes from the FBI's Denver office. It says, avoid using free charging stations in airports, hotels, or shopping centers.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of bars in town, like right where your bar stool is, there's a place for you to charge your phone right there under the bar.
But don't do it, huh?
They're saying you shouldn't. The FBI says bad actors have figured out ways to use public USB ports to introduce malware and monitoring software onto devices. Carry your own charger and USB cord and use an electrical outlet instead. So you can charge at an airport if they have electrical outlets and you've got your own plug thing.
Yes.
That's fine. It's the USB directly into your phone.
Okay.
That they're saying is a bozo no-no. The FBI says this warning is a regular reminder that they have to issue of an FCC consumer warning about the issue. They're not referencing any specific incidents, but they say it's happening. It can be tricky to pull it off, and not a lot of these cases have been reported publicly lately, but the FCC... That's the Federal Communications Commission. Their warning was last updated in 2021, and it refers to something, a cyber theft tactic they call in the trade juicejacking.
Mm-hmm.
Juicejacking is a tactic in which malware is installed through a dirty USB port. It can lock a device or export personal data and passwords directly to the perpetrator. Criminals then use that information to access online accounts, or they sell it to other bad actors.
Sounds like the sort of thing I might be doing this spring and summer. Getting juice-jacked!
2023 is the summer. Uh-huh. We finally get juice-jacked.
Going through a lot of kale and carrots. Getting juice-jacked!
I don't skip lemonade day. I'm juice-jacked! Now, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. The summer of getting juice jacked.
I'm using the whole apple. Getting juice jacked.
Here comes Uncle Jack. Shoot me.
Exactly.
They say fraudsters may leave charging cables plugged into charging stations or give out charging cables disguised as promotional items. Like, if someone's like, hey, we're giving away these free cables for you to charge your phone.
Marvelous.
Again, you should consider carrying a charging-only cable, which prevents data from sending or receiving while charging, and get it from a trusted supplier. Public Wi-Fi networks can also allow cyber criminals to target people. I go, well, that's nothing new. Everybody knows that.
I'm drinking the equivalent of 3 cabbages a week. I'm juice-jacked!
What was that old man who had the infomercials in the 90s with the juicer?
Oh yeah.
Was he called like Mr. Juicer? You know what I'm thinking about?
Yeah, I know.
Was he called the Juice Man? What was his name?
Might have been just the Juice Man.
He would be on like before they would turn football on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
This old man in his weird.
Well, he was like 200 years old.
Right. But I'm juicing. Look at me.
Uh-huh. You use the whole melon.
Was he the juice man? Am I remembering that correctly?
Sounds about right.
I'm 90 years old. I got a 20-year-old wife. I put these celery stalks in here. I mix it all up. Look at me.
The entire garden is in here. I'm drinking topsoil. I'm juice jacked.
And then I feel like something happened where the juice man had to change his name.
I just got back from the golf course.
Oh, right.
Yeah, right.
Actually played pretty well.
Thanks, Juice.
Is the Juice Man still around?
Oh, that was probably 30 years ago, wasn't it? 20, 30 years ago?
He died in 2017.
Not bad.
The Juice Man.
How old was he?
He was born in, he was 93 when he died.
93.
Jay Jordich, the Juice Man, also known as the father of juicing, played college football for USC in 1948. And was drafted in the 1949.
You should see me hit the long ball. I'm on the juice.
He was drafted in 1949 by the Green Bay Packers.
Really?
Yeah.
He didn't look like he was that big a guy.
Before he could sign with the Packers, it was reported that he was diagnosed with inoperable bladder cancer. Ooh. That's when I started drinking the juice. Oh, yeah. He wrote a book in 1992 called The Juice Man's Power of Juicing. Was involved in a series of advertising campaigns for juicers, including the Juice Man Juicer. He would lecture on the subject and appeared in numerous television infomercials for the Juice Man Juicers. It was one of the first products and brands to be sold through the infomercial format. Yeah, it was everywhere, like every Sunday morning.
He'd always have someone with him, a second person that was like a co-host of the show.
Yeah.
And by the end of the, all of a sudden you started noticing, it's like, wait a minute, is that person jaundiced now? And then by the end of the program, the person's skin was almost a lime green. It's like, it was too much juice.
At some point, yeah.
Like, wait, is there skin tone changing?
Why is the juice man's lovely assistant
red as a beet?
A gray Paul has taken over her complexion now.
Right, just in the matter of half an hour.
That doesn't seem right. What's going on here?
I remember reading a story. I think we were like in fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
Story of somebody. Who ate too many carrots?
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that story?
I had a friend who did it.
Ate too many carrots and they started turning orange?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a friend that did that.
Yeah, there's...
I'm Jay Cordich, the Juice Man. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your purchase of what I believe to be the very best juice extractor on the market today. I hope you're excited about making fresh juices in your own kitchen.
I remember the Juice Man being more excited than this. This is almost a sensual experience listening to him here. I'm so excited you bought my juicer.
Bart Starr owes me money.
That's the only way to optimum health. Now, this tape is your video instructional manual. We'll show you how to use your juicer, how to clean the machine.
So this is what comes with after you've already purchased the Juice Man.
Oh, it comes with a videotape. The Juice Man walks us through how to clean everything.
Look at the recipes.
That I've learned over the years to help you get the most out of your new Juice Man juicer.
Assembly.
That's not what was on TV.
No.
This is what you get.
Okay. So once you had bought the Juice Man's juicer.
Then he brings it back down. You've already bought it.
Okay.
The hard sell is over.
All right. Well, I would you like to see the Juice Man make watermelon juice? Sure you would.
Yeah, use the
melon. I think this is his last product that he made. It's something he called the Power Grind Pro.
Now we're going to do some watermelon. We got a striped watermelon. I love watermelon. Edibly, I eat watermelon all summer long.
Edibly?
Edibly?
What?
Edibly, what does that even mean?
If they're edible?
I like to eat edible things. That's my secret to good health. Edibly, I enjoy watermelons.
What do you want to do when you do a watermelon? You always want to do the skin and all. One of the greatest source of chlorophyll, which is a biogenic, a healer of the human body, lies in the skin of a watermelon.
What?
Now, that's unavailable because all we do, all of us, we just
take the edible part, the red part, spit out the seeds, and we eat the watermelon. That's only a small fragment of the food value.
You're doing it wrong.
Now we're going to benefit from the food values of parts of that watermelon you could never do just by edibly consuming it.
This guy says edible one more time. I'm going to put my fist through the screen.
Well, you'll
so he would put the whole watermelon in this thing?
Yeah, just...
You sound like that's something you would condone.
Sure.
Eating the skin of a watermelon?
It's going to get all turned into juice. You're
going to
get juice, Jack.
You ought to get locked up talking like this. Eating the skin of a watermelon, that's unholy.
So when you do a watermelon, I like to cut it in half.
He says do a watermelon a lot, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Juice man, what's going on, buddy?
I like to take a watermelon out by the shady tree.
Here's the thing.
I'll lay down a blanket and maybe a transistor radio, put on some soft listening.
Here's the thing about watermelons. They're very edible, and they keep the mouth shut.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do this watermelon, and I'm going to make these kumquats watch. It's very edible.
You cut a watermelon in half and put them side by side. Now that's a sensation.
I'm going to slice this watermelon.
That is a nice round watermelon.
Summer nights.
Just like that, you see? With the seeds and all. Then you'd cut it into a ring.
I think we know how to slice a watermelon.
What I like
Grandpa.
To do is...
Then you cut it in strips.
Uh-huh.
Now, before I start doing the watermelon, I want to show you something very important.
Okay, I don't...
I sleep with two watermelons every night. I cut them in half. And lay them on my water bed.
Now we're going to get to what I call juice jacking. This is... This is a part of the tape. You might want to ask some viewers to leave the room.
As a matter of fact, you're going to have to, for security reasons, we'll send you a code.
It's very important.
Text the word jacked to us now.
But only use one hand. What are you doing?
I don't know.
You ridiculous juice man.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was five things, all right. The top five things
kidding.
That happened here on our morning show. Which
I
you
lost
can...
count.
Well, that's why we have all the big number
it's
productions.
It's not my responsibility to keep count, is it?
No. No, you do the things, and I'll do the things, and then they'll get counted. And now we've gotten through all five, so that's it for this edition of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. We'll have five more things for you very shortly.
That's interesting.
Depending on when you're listening to this, there could be another podcast coming right up. Maybe.
Depending on what kind of thing you're into.
Yeah, I mean, we're not here to judge. Darren and I don't have an axe to grind.
No.
Until we get a chance to do this for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Things went very well. They started off rough.
Oh, no.
But they ended up swell.
And that's how she wrote.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.